Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Philippians, if you will. Philippians, with all of my heart, I thought tonight we start on verse 7. But I got to go back to verse 6 for just a little while, okay? There's something here tonight that I want to make myself a note here at the end of the lesson, because the Lord gave me something else that I want to talk about at the very end tonight. And I hope it'll be a blessing. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in verse number 6, he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." We looked last week at, you know, if God starts the work, then God will finish the work. Amen? We're confident of that, that if he starts the work in our life, then he will finish the work. But what I looked at today, and I want to look at for a little while tonight, is this day of Jesus Christ. In the end of this verse right here, I may be sharing some things tonight that most of us know, maybe all of us know tonight. But I'll tell you this tonight, it was a blessing to me, even as I reviewed this afternoon. And sometimes I think myself and other pastors and maybe teachers are guilty at times of thinking that people understand these truths, and we need to be sure that we don't miss them when we're going through the Word of God. So I want to try to look at this tonight, the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord has kind of helped me to outline it a little bit, and I want to look at that. Let's pray together. Father, I need your help. I want to be a blessing tonight. And God, I know that Lord, cannot be a blessing unless you bless me. Lord, I thank you for those that are praying for us, praying for our church. And I thank you, God, for each one that gives, each one that lives for you in these days. And Lord, we've got a lot to accomplish between now and Sunday. But God, I know with your strength and your grace and your help, we can get that done. I pray, Father, tonight, you give us a great day on Sunday. And Lord, I pray that tonight you'd give us a great time around the Word of God. Bless the youth, our Father, that are gathered on both sides of us. The children, Lord, the teenagers. And Lord, I know they're headed back to school. And Lord, I know that we're living in some very, very, very perilous times. And I pray, God, tonight you'd keep them safe. Help them, Lord, to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me say this by way of introduction. When we're talking about the coming of the Lord, I believe everyone in here would understand this, but there are actually two aspects of that coming. The Lord Jesus comes, and then this verse of Scripture right here, the day of Jesus Christ, it differentiates from the day of the Lord that's talked about in the Bible. And in this day, when Paul's talking about right here, Christ comes for the church in the air. And we meet the Lord in the air. That's spoken of in the book of Thessalonians. Amen. He does not come back to the earth, but he comes on a cloud, in the clouds, and we meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to be talking about that a little bit tonight. But then we're going to be facing, as believers, the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat, some have called it, it is to determine our reward or our loss of reward. And when that's going on, then the tribulation will be setting in. The time of Jacob's trouble, or the great tribulation, will be setting in on the earth while that you and I are in heaven with the Lord. And that would be whether we're alive and remain when he comes and we're changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, or we have went by way of the grave. I like what Brother Herman Anderson used to say. I loved that man of God. He said, whether it's by way of the clods or by way of the clouds, I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. And I like that. Amen. And so we're not going to study now the tribulation tonight, but we know in the time of Jacob's trouble, I'm just giving you a little bit of an overview. There's going to be 3.5 years of like utopia, peace. If somebody shows up on the scene, the Antichrist, he promises prosperity. He promises peace. There's a one world religion that's formed, a one world currency's formed, a one world government formed, and everything's looking good. until the middle of the tribulation, when the abomination of desolation takes place, as by Daniel the prophet, and the Jewish people realize that they have been deceived, and that the Antichrist is not the Christ after all, that he is the liar that the Bible has already proclaimed him to be. At that time, all hell is going to break loose on the earth. Amen. And then at the end of the tribulation, that's where the Bible talks about as far as the nation of Israel and the Jew, except those days be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. Amen. But God is going to take care of Israel in that day, and he's concluded them all in unbelief that he might be merciful to all. And then at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus comes back and we come back with him. We come back behind him. I believe he's leading those armies out of heaven. And he sets one foot down on the Mount of Olives and one foot on the sea. And there's going to be that battle, that great battle of Armageddon. And I'm just trying to give you a little bit of overview. For years, I didn't understand that even after the millennial reign, I didn't understand this for years, there's another uprising. And the devil is loosed. He's been bound for 1,000 years. He's loosed. He goes into the four corners of the earth. He gathers up his armies. In other words, Jesus in the millennial reign is ruling with a rod of iron. That tells us that not everybody is doing what they're doing in the millennium because they want to. There are some that still have rebellion in their hearts, and given an opportunity, they're going to show that rebellion. But tonight I want to concentrate on this here, the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord, let me just get my thoughts together and outline it this way. We're going to look, number one, at redemption in the day of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, preacher, I'm already redeemed. What about redemption in the day of Jesus Christ? Well, let me just say it to you like this. We are already redeemed as far as our soul and as far as our spirit. But our body is awaiting redemption. And one preacher said it like this, and I don't want to confuse anybody. He said, really, we're just two-thirds saved. Amen. And I don't want to confuse anybody, amen, but our body is awaiting. I guarantee you tonight that I do not have my glorified body. How many's on board right there, amen? I guarantee you this body still knows what pain is. This body still knows what it is to think ungodly thoughts. Help me, somebody, amen. This body still has to be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, we're going to look at the redemption. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2, if you want to make a note of these, or I'll probably maybe go a little bit faster than you could look them up. But in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2, he said that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. And Paul said, as the day of Christ is at hand. I want to say this tonight. I believe that some of the people that have preceded us in generations gone by learned a secret about this day of Christ. They lived for it. They didn't live for it just on Sunday. They didn't live for it just in revival. They lived for it every day of their life. And they were some of the happiest people you've ever met on the face of the earth. Amen. In other words, they weren't shaken by what's going on down here because they realized how temporary it is. They weren't troubled. I believe the thing that's killing our generation more than anything is stress. Amen. We're just all in a tizzy sometimes when we ought to be living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. The redemption in the day. The Bible said in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now our soul is redeemed in Christ. Our spirit is redeemed in Christ. But we're awaiting that day when our body will be redeemed in Christ. The Bible said in Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. As how many knows that groaning goes on at times? Amen? As we walk in the Spirit, as we walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody told me just in this funeral, I can't remember who it was, Brother John, that told me, but somebody told me, I'm ready. I'm ready for Him to come. Amen? There is a groaning that goes on down inside, and He will come. Yet a little while, and He that shall come will come. The Bible said over in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. I'm glad tonight that in the redemption of the body, in the day of Jesus Christ, He's going to change this vile body, and the corruptible is going to put on incorruption. The mortal is going to put on immortality. You say, preacher, I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know a lot about it, but I know this. We're going to be like Christ. Amen. The Bible said over there, I believe it's in the book of 1 John, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I don't know about you, but when I read the Gospels, I wouldn't mind being like that man. Amen. When I look at the cross, I wouldn't mind being like that man. When I look at that empty tomb, I wouldn't mind being like that man. When I look tonight at the right hand of God the Father, at the one making intercession for us, I wouldn't mind being like that man. Amen. And that's what we're going to be like. We're going to be like Jesus. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14, talking about the Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, under the praise of His glory. That's why the Bible, I'm not going to go into all that study, but listen, our body, we're bought with a price. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost. And it's like the Spirit of God has made the down payment, but thank God the Lord's going to come, amen, and redeem this body. And we ought to be looking forward to that, the redemption in the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. I'm just trying to get us to see tonight, in this day of Jesus Christ, there is redemption in that day. Amen. Now listen tonight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Several years ago, my wife, I think she read the series of books. I'm not much of a reader. I think God has a sense of humor. Amen. He calls a man to preach that don't like to read. Amen. Amen. But I believe tonight that there's a danger. My wife looked at this set of books, and I watched a couple of the movies. It's easier for me to do that. Remember the series Left Behind? Now, there's a danger in that. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, they portrayed a man, I believe it was the man, if I can remember correctly, and his daughter. They more or less mocked the things of God. And then the woman and the son, the wife and the son, were saved. And then in the rapture, they disappeared, amen, and went to be with the Lord. And the danger that I see is the movie portrayed the father and the daughter trusting Christ in the tribulation. Let me say something to you right here. The Bible said over there in the book of Thessalonians, amen, in that day, all them that had pleasure in unrighteousness are going to believe a lie and be damned. God is going to send strong delusion. I don't believe, listen, this redemption that I'm talking about, it's not talking about unbelievers in that day, amen, but it's talking about the redemption of the body for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, for those that have been born again. The redemption in the day of Jesus Christ. Now I want to look secondly tonight, and you may already know all of this, but I want to just, Paul said it, he said God's going to perform that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, why does he stop there? Well, he's going to perform it. Listen to this. This will bless you. He's going to perform it until that day, but in that day, he's going to perfect it. Hallelujah. Amen. He will perfect that work. It will be finished. It'll be complete. Amen. And I praise his name for that tonight. Let's look tonight, number two. Not only the redemption in the day of Jesus Christ, but let's look at the reward in the day of Jesus Christ. This has been heavy on my heart as I've spent time with this family this week. You know something? It's one thing to be saved, and it's another thing to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's one thing to be saved, and it's another thing to serve the Lord. I'm going to share some scripture with you tonight. I'm going to show you that not everybody is saved serves the Lord. Amen? I'm going to show it to you tonight. The reward. The Bible said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 1:6. Listen to Philippians 1:10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How many believes that's a worthy goal? To be sincere and to be without offense. That's a worthy goal. We may miss the mark sometimes, and no doubt we will, amen, but it's a worthy goal. Someone said this one time, if you don't aim at something, you're not going to hit anything, amen. So at least it's a goal tonight, something to shoot at, amen, something that we ought to work toward. Go with me, if you will, now, over here in the Bible, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We're talking about a reward in the day of Jesus Christ. And I may tie this other thing the Lord gave me into this. I'm not sure how the Lord would want me to do that, but I'll know here in a minute maybe. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. The Bible said here in verse number 11, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How many believes that's the only foundation? Amen. Everything else, Brother Wayne, the prisons are full of them, ain't they? All kinds of foundations. But there's only one rock. The rest of it's sinking sand. Amen? This world's full of religion, but very little relationship through a new birth with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what the Bible said here. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Now if any man build upon this foundation, in other words, we're saved. Now God wants us to go to work and to build upon this foundation. He said, if any man builds gold, silver, precious stones, and then he uses a contrast, wood, hay, and stubble. And the Bible said this, every man's work shall be made manifest. Watch this now, for the day. That is actually the day of Christ right there. The day of Jesus Christ shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he which he hath built upon, thereupon he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. I believe there's a danger in getting this thing of salvation and service mixed up. Salvation is being on the foundation, trusting Christ as our Savior. Service is what we do for him after that we're on the foundation. Our entrance into heaven has to do with what we do with Christ. Do we receive him? Heaven. Reject him? Hell. But our reward in heaven has to do with what we do for Christ. Our entrance into heaven is apart from works. It's totally by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But many people don't quote this verse of Scripture. The Bible said over there in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But some Baptists like to stop right there. That's just the beginning. That's just salvation. But the Bible said we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God didn't save us just to save us. God saved us to make something out of us, to be a blessing to others, amen, through our lives and to work for Him. I like the song that says, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. We're not working for salvation, but we're working because of salvation. Now, I want to say this tonight. This really helped me. Went back years ago, I used to go, and I'm not going to start naming names. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but anybody that's been in Baptist circles any time at all will understand what I'm talking about. You could go to this conference and that conference, and if you're not baptizing this many or that many, if you're not running this many in Sunday school, then you're just lower than a snake's belly. Amen. Why don't you just do something for God? I'll tell you, I was reading my Bible one day. This really blessed me. The Word of God said when it comes to reward, God's not looking at the size of the work. He's looking at the sort. He wants to know what sort it is. Amen. It always bothered me to think about those pastors that spent 35 and 40 and 50 years of their life back here in the mountains and ain't never had more than a handful of people. I just believe the big shots one day will take a back seat. Amen. To that man of God that's been faithful to the Lord. He didn't just do the right thing. He did it for the right reason. He did it because he loved God. He loved God's people. He loved the Word of God. Amen. I tell you something tonight. Listen, I'll say this to every one of our preachers. We ought to preach if there's 3 or 300 or 3,000, just like the house is on fire, forget about it. Amen. I don't believe a crowd ought to make no difference whatsoever. We ought to just preach the Word of God. Amen. Give them the Word of God. Well, I don't know about you, but there's going to be a reward, the Bible said. You know what really, really comes out in this day when the day declares it? You see, there's something that a lot of people, they'll use this verse. Let's just say somebody living in adultery. They say, well, you shouldn't say nothing about that. You're judging. No, you're not judging. You're preaching the Word of God if you're preaching against adultery. Amen. They say, well, you shouldn't say anything about sodomy. You shouldn't say anything about shacking up. You shouldn't say anything about lust. You shouldn't say anything about stealing. The Word of God's got all that nailed down. Amen. But I tell you, when it says don't judge, judge not, let me tell you what that's talking about. Your motive. See, you're here tonight, Brother Gale. I don't know why you're here. I believe I know. I believe that all, with all my heart, brother, I believe I know why you're here tonight. But the day will declare it. Say amen right there. The day will declare it. The day will declare why the preacher's preaching, why the teacher's teaching, why we're trying to raise our children, Brother Brian. But the day will declare it. Amen. Not only that we've done right, but the day will declare why we did what we did. Amen. Amen. How many believes it's possible to sing for the right reason? How many believes that? How many believes it's possible to sing for the wrong reason? How many believes it's possible to preach for the right reason? How many believes it's possible to preach for the wrong reason? It don't matter what we're doing, amen. But I'm just telling you tonight, the day will declare it, amen. It'll all come out in the light, amen. It'll all come out in the light. Nothing will be hid in that day. It'll all be uncovered. Well, you say, preacher, why would you get hung up on the day of Jesus Christ? There's a lot going on that day. Amen. I just didn't believe God wanted me to skip it tonight. Amen. I believe we ought to talk about it. I believe we ought to live for it. I believe we ought to long for it. Amen. There's some of you all, I'm not trying to pull on your heartstrings tonight, but I've heard about some people in this church, their spouse is already over yonder, and I can't wait, glory to God, to meet them. Amen. I've heard what kind of people they are, how they love the Lord. We're going to meet up together one of these days. Amen. I never did know them down here, but I will. I will. Amen. I'll know them over yonder. The Bible's talking about a reward in the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a minute. You're just about there. Oh, boy. Saved. Oh, yeah, there's people saved. And you know, I just say this tonight. Listen, Sister Janet, you're here tonight. And Sister Teresa, you're back there tonight. And y'all done figured out I'm all for running them vans. I'll just go ahead and give you a heads up. When we fill them up, I'm for getting another one. Say amen right there. You said, preacher, have you lost your mind? No, no, but let me tell you something, what I'm not for. There was a day in Kingsport, Tennessee, when this went on. Churches fought over the youngins and competed. We'll give you a hot dog if you'll come to our church. Well, we'll give you two hot dogs if you come. If I live, that'll never be the case around here. Amen. I tell you, our motive is not going to be numbers. Our motive is going to be the souls of these youngins and the souls of these people that live in this community of Bloomingdale. It's not going to be trying to outdo, and it's not going to be trying to hoodoo. Amen. I believe with all of my heart. I go out and I visit, and somebody tell me they go to such and such church. I always, without fail, tell people this. We're not here trying to drag people out of another church. We're out here visiting because we don't know who's who and who's going where. And we know that this community is full of people that are not saved and full of people that don't go to church. And we're trying to reach them. Amen. We're trying to reach them. Anything else, the motive just not would not be right. Amen. Listen, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. I do not believe that it's a bad motive to want to see Brother Gale have to move up on the front bench because his bench was full when he got here. Amen? You'll be glad to. Amen. You might have to bring in an umbrella, Brother Gale. Amen. But you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Listen, Jesus said it like this. He said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in that my house might be. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with desiring. Amen. That don't mean you compromise to do it. I mean, it don't mean you're in competition to do it. But there's nothing wrong with going out here and trying to reach people and fill God's house up for God's glory. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Amen. If there was, surely our Lord wouldn't have told us to do that. Amen. I believe in the day it'll declare it. Amen. It'll declare it. Listen tonight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 8. The Bible said, we're confident. I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body. Let me back up. Let's back up here to verse number 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. So as long as we're in this body, still awaiting that day of redemption, then we're absent from the Lord. Watch this now. He said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul said it in another way. I believe it was in the book of Philippians. I believe it's in chapter 1 a little bit later. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. He said, I've got a desire to depart and be with Christ. I love these two words. He dumped in over there. He said, far better, which is far better. How many believes that? Amen. How many believes over there is far better than down here? Amen. Amen. But notice here he said, I'm willing to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. I can't believe what time it is. He said, wherefore we labor. We're going to work that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of who? You know where a lot of people get caught in a trap? They want to be accepted of them instead of accepted of Him. You know something? I don't know of one person that enjoys being rejected. Say amen. But I tell you what I believe. I believe that the people that are like Paul in this world today, that want to be accepted of him, they would like to be accepted of them, but if they have to choose between the two, guess which way they're going? They're going to be like those few that God raised up in the Old Testament that did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Really, that's what matters tonight. There's a reward in the day of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. He said, for we must all appear. Now, I want to just say this. I think you understand this tonight, but I just want to stop and say, when he says we, he's talking about God's people. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Watch this now. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I've spoke to a few, but very few, that say they're looking forward to this day. I'm not sure about that. Amen. I believe that every one of us is going to come up a little short on this day. Say amen. Every one of us is going to see we could have done more for the cause of Christ. Amen. We could have lived closer to him. The Bible said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer in them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it's to God. Or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I'll say this tonight. If that's what's driving you, then the judgment seat of Christ will reveal it tonight. Amen. If you're doing what you do because you love him. Because you love him. I believe that's the purest motive there is in the whole wide world. I believe that's the purest motive to wash dishes. I believe that's the purest motive to bring the preacher a butterscotch pie Sunday. Amen. It's because you love Jesus. Amen. You liked that, didn't you, Brother Gale? He helps me preach. Amen. I liked it too. Amen. Because you love Jesus, do whatever you do to the glory of God Almighty. Amen. Listen tonight. That's what Paul did. Let me give you this. I'm trying to quit. Brother Brian, I wanted to get done early tonight. I said, I'll get these two little things. We'll just get out of here. Amen. And but I could come back, but I want to just give you this. I'll just give it to you. And we'll go, not fellowship, but we'll go to the fellowship hall and work. Amen. A little while. Watch this now. Not only is there redemption in the day of Jesus Christ, and is there a reward in the day of Jesus Christ, but there's rejoicing in the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:16 said it like this, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I'll say this to you tonight. You won't serve the Lord long until the enemy will jump up on your shoulder and he'll tell you you're wasting your time. You're wasting your breath. I tell you what I like to do. I like to take the enemy's nose and rub it in the Scripture. The Bible said over there, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Who are we going to listen to? We're going to listen to that slewfoot, or are we going to listen to the Scripture and the Word of God, the Lord that cannot lie? I believe tonight there'll be rejoicing. I'm not going to turn there tonight. I was going to go there, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to turn there. Go home and read Revelation 4 and 5. You see, after Revelation 4 and chapter number 4 and verse number 1, when you hear, come up hither, you don't see the church until Revelation chapter 19 in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you see what's going on in chapter 4 and chapter 5 is rejoicing. They're singing the song, amen. They're crying out in song, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who hath redeemed us to God by his own precious blood. Boy, Brother Fred, that choir will be singing, amen. I tell you, they won't need anybody to help them, amen. We'll all have glorified voice boxes, amen. And we'll be praising him and rejoicing in the day of Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with one thought. I usually don't try to close. I try not to close with a negative. But I want to say this tonight. According to the Word of God, there are going to be some regrets in the day of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, where did you find that? How many knows that Bloomingdale's got a lot of folks in it that say they're saved but ain't got nothing for the house of God? How many knows that? Now, I'm not their judge as far as whether they're saved or not. I can't judge that. But I can tell you this. Those that are saved, genuinely saved, in the day of Jesus Christ, will regret not being faithful to the house of God. They'll regret not being faithful to their Bible. They'll regret not witnessing to their neighbors. They'll regret not praying for their children. they'll regret not serving the Lord. He said, preacher, give us a Bible. How about this? I don't know if I can get it verbatim, but over there in 1 John, I believe it is chapter number 2, the Bible said that we may stand before Him with confidence, listen, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. That tells me that some people, when that trumpet sounds, I believe your daddy's one of them, Sister Kathy. I believe old Brother Walters will say, hallelujah. I've been looking for you, Jesus. I've been listening for that sound, amen. In other words, confidence. He wasn't caught off guard. He was looking for Him. He was living for Him. He was longing for Him to come. But there are going to be others be caught off guard and be ashamed before Him at His coming. How many believes that's true? I'm going to say something to you. There have been times, I've been saved 27 years, Brother Rose. There have been times in my own life, I know good and well I would have been ashamed had He come and caught me in the condition that I was in. Is anybody else on that train besides me? Amen. Not making excuses, but saying, God, challenge us tonight to live for the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident, Paul said, this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in that day, I like this. I like words that kind of rhymed. He will perfect it in that day. Amen. He'll perform it until that day, and He will perfect it in that day. Isn't that good? Amen. The day of Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight that I'm not going to stand at the great white throne judgment to be judged. I'm saying this personally. If you read it in its context, I believe we witness that judgment. Because when you come into Revelation 21, the Bible said He'll wipe all tears away. I believe we're going to weep like we've never wept before when we see people cast off. Now, I'm not being dogmatic about that. Amen. But the Bible did use it in that chronological order. Amen. Then God's going to wipe all tears away from our eyes. I just personally believe heaven wouldn't be heaven if God didn't wipe that away. Amen. It wouldn't be heaven. I'm not going to stand there to be judged, but I am going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. I think a lot of people, I'm not being critical, but I think a lot of people try to sugarcoat it for the Christian. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe there'll be much sugar on that day. Amen. When it's all manifested in the light and the fire tries our works, boy, I tell you what, only that that's gold and silver and precious stones is going to pass through the fire. And the rest of it will be just like, Brother Houston, you lighting that cardboard at Christmas on fire out there. Don't take long, does it, brother? You get down one little corner of it and a whole big pile of cardboard, poof, gone. Nothing but a few ashes flying through the air. That's the way our works will be if we don't do it for the right reason and do it the Bible way. Amen. How many has a hard time sometimes when you read that story about Uzzah? Remember the cart? Remember they were bringing the ark of the Lord and they had put it on a cart. They were supposed to carry it with staves, Brother Gale, and they put it on a they were trying to do the right thing, but they were doing it the wrong way. And Brother Arnold, Uzzah just reached up to steady it. It's like a wheel fell off and he reached up to steady it. When he touched the ark of God, he died. That's how serious it is to do God's work God's way. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad there's a better day? Good things to come. Good things to come. I read it in the book of Hebrews twice. Amen? It's there. There's some good things to come. I believe the best is yet to come. The very worst that God's people will ever experience, it'll be in this life. The very best that a lost man will ever experience will be in this life. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which way's better there. Amen. Amen. It's going to get a lot better for the children of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, tonight, thank you for our folk that have come. Thank you for a time in the Bible called the day of Jesus Christ, the day of Christ, the day, Lord, when we'll experience the redemption of our body, when we'll experience a reward, our Father, for the faithful. Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, we look forward to that day when we experience that rejoicing together around the throne. They used to sing, Lord, over at Oak Glen, that song in the choir, around the throne, there will be a celebration when we meet. Oh, Lord, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd help us to live for that day.